You are now listening to Lower Road Radio.
Hey, welcome one and all to the number one podcast, winter, spring, and fall. Talking sports for the thrill of it all. Hey, talking life, but we're killing it all. Jason and Dan with the master plan. These are dangerous men with the mic in the hand. Ha! Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right.
What?
Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right.
Yeah.
Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right.
What? Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Let's get it.
What?
At Tanagra When the Walls Fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How's 2020 treating you?
I'm wearing black, like, wind pants.
You are?
For the first time on the show. Can you hear this?
Is this definitively the first time on the show that you've worn wind pants?
Yeah.
You know, can I be honest with you? I do not think I could tell you the last time I wore wind pants.
Is that what these are called?
I know what you mean by wind pants.
Well, that's what I call
they're
them. They're like Adidas striped on the side, black.
Yeah, they're not cloth. They're not sweatpants.
No, they're like almost like a windbreaker material on the outside.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
And on the inside, they're lined.
I don't know if other people call them wind pants, but I know what you meant.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I know I had a couple pairs like in high school. Or maybe when I was young, I don't remember the last time I wore them.
So I use these for soccer.
Sure.
We actually have soccer practice tomorrow night. So I dug them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's indoor soccer, the futsal.
Yeah.
So I dug them out. You know, you can move around. You're not limited in the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually in between jeans right now. That's my problem. You see, I have what the doctors call a weight problem.
Yeah. I'd better not dive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
so you've got fat jeans and skinny jeans,
yes,
but not in between jeans.
Yes.
Oh.
So when I was at my all-time skinny,
uh-huh,
I went out and I bought like 5 pairs of jeans because I'm like, listen.
This is never going to change.
It's never going to change. And you know what happened?
It changed.
It changed.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm, so now I went back to my fat pants,
mm-hmm,
and they're all holy and tore up and like ripped. And
because why do I want to buy new fat pants? I'm not going to weigh this.
No, I'm not going to buy
long.
New fat pants. So I'm in the process. I'm a yo-yo. I'm a uh-huh human weight yo-yo.
Yeah. My in-laws did me a disservice a couple of years ago for Christmas. They bought me jeans that were stretchy.
Like maternity pants.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But to look at them, you wouldn't know.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't know until I put them on. And I was like, whoa, this is stretchy material. I never experienced jeans like that before.
Yeah.
And so, man, I wore those puppies all winter long a couple of years ago. And then... And I'm thinking, I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They're comfortable.
Whatever.
They
they're
fit.
Super comfortable.
Yeah.
But they grow with you. And then I think they were dirty. And then I went to put on another pair of jeans that seemed to fit just fine before. And they did not fit and did not give in the way that those did.
You
yeah.
And, try to get it
and,
on.
Yeah. And or just wear like a long sweatshirt all day that the top can just kind of be unbuttoned. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and you can just kind of, you know, those zippers are holding on for dear life, doing all the work. And so I had to then stop wearing those because they gave me a false sense of security.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I get it. I've got some jeans that are waiting for me, you know?
Yeah.
I've lost about 10 pounds.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm hoping.
So here's my yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
I went 250.
Yeah.
That was my all-time high to 184. That's a significant drop.
That is significant.
Then I bounced back up over the holidays over the last like 6 to 8 months
mm-hmm
to 235.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on keto 1 week ago, almost mm-hmm exactly 1 week ago.
Yeah.
And I've dropped 11
You're
pounds.
You're drinking some sort of sugar-free.
Yeah, it's a sugar-free, like
artificial.
The ice.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm fine.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. All right. Drink one of those a day.
Yeah.
That's like my special treat.
Special treat.
Yeah.
Mm. That's nice.
I just need something.
Treat. Yeah.
So I had some seltzer water earlier, lemon-lime mm-hmm seltzer water.
Yeah.
I had rotisserie chicken for lunch.
Mm, that's a good option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I've lost 11 pounds in 1 week.
Feels good.
So I'm back down to 224.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get under 200, I'll be able to fit my other jeans.
Yeah.
Until then, I might be wearing
until
the
wind
pants.
It's a wind pants situation.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm a wearer of jeans in public. I don't like to wear sweatpants or wind pants or anything like that. I don't know why. It's quirky, but I feel like I'm wearing pajamas, and I don't want to wear pajamas in public.
Yeah.
And even if they're – I have nicer sweats that are like – they're not like holy or old or whatever. Yeah. I just have this weird thing about wearing – I feel like I'm wearing pajamas, and I don't want to wear pajamas in public. So I have to wear jeans or some kind of khaki or something like that. That's my thing. I don't even like wearing like basketball shorts unless I'm like out like going for a walk or mowing or like going to play basketball or something.
Yeah.
Like I'm – I don't know why. I don't particularly care what I wear other times. Like it's not like I'm like obsessed with my clothes.
So what if Dad calls us? He's like, "Hey, this weekend I'm grilling out, having some people over the house."
Yeah.
Like not it's not a public event.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Would you wear sweats?
I'm wearing khaki shorts. Oh, like this weekend? Yeah, I'll wear jeans. I'd wear jeans.
But it's not public. It's like a family gathering.
Even then. I'll wear jeans.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it's – and I don't really look down upon other people that have like nice sweats. I do look down upon people that go to Walmart in pajamas. But I don't think it looks bad. I see people wearing that stuff all the time, and I think it looks perfectly good. For me, I don't like to. I feel sloppy. I am wearing a sweatshirt that I got for Christmas from fans of the show, Terry and Susan.
Ooh, yeah.
My in-laws. And it is a sweatshirt
with
a pouch and no hood.
Really?
So we talked about this on the show, and I said that this didn't exist. I had never seen it before.
Did she make it for you?
No. They bought it at Shields, I think, which is a place in Montana up north, different areas up there. And it is a sweatshirt with a pouch
and
like
no hood.
A hoodie would have, but no hood.
Do you like it, or do you miss the hood?
Well, you know, being bald, it is nice to have a hood sometimes. Yes. I'm not going to lie. But also the hood I find to be cumbersome sometimes. It's just a bit much. Like if I'm going to wear a coat, you know, the hood kind of gets in the way, you know? So I've been wearing it a lot. I like it. Yeah.
So I picked up one of those pairs of earbuds that are Bluetooth.
Sure.
Wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And they're connected like on a loop so that when you're done, you can – like the problem with AirPods, jeez, is like you could take them out, but you have to put them back in a case. And I feel like, because there's knockoffs of those too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't want to lose them.
Sure.
So I want them on a string. Mm-hmm. So you pop them in your ear, you pop them off, and they kind of have a magnetic thing in the between.
Yeah.
So it's like I can walk the dog, I can walk around, I can have them walk around the house, whatever. But when I have the hood on, I tuck them between my neck and the hood. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like hold into place.
Right.
It's nice having a hood for that purpose.
Okay. I have a
pair. I like hoods, though. I'm a hoodie guy.
I have a – yeah. I'm – the more I've been thinking about it, as I've been wearing this sweatshirt, I've been thinking, I think I'm going to go away from the hoods altogether. I really don't need the pocket. The pocket is whatever. My hands are in the pocket now, so they're keeping them warm. But I think I'm going to move to a hoodless sweatshirt.
Yeah. I've got hoodless sweatshirts. Called a sweatshirt.
I'm going to move primarily to a hoodless sweatshirt. I'm going to get rid of the hoodies, and I think I'm going to move to hoodless. I think that's going to be my thing. I feel like hoodies are more juvenile. You know, I feel like a hoodless sweatshirt is more grown up.
Is it?
I feel like
what about
it is.
A V-neck sweatshirt?
Well, now that's a V-neck sweatshirt?
Yeah.
Or like sweater?
No, our dad has some V-neck sweatshirts.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
That's even more adult.
Yeah, I don't like a V-neck at all, ever, in anything.
T-shirt V-neck?
Don't like a T-shirt V-neck, no.
What about an A-shirt?
A what?
It's like the wife beaters. Like the ribbed.
An A-shirt?
Yeah, it's like an A-frame.
Oh, no, I don't like that either. I like a neck.
T-shirt, you got T-shirt, A-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
V-neck.
I've never heard A-shirt before in my
what?
Life. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever
it's
heard
it. It's a
that.
Thing. Well, when we were kids, we called them wife beaters. That's my goal, honestly, to lose enough weight I can wear a wife beater and not look like a dumb redneck. That's going to be hard to do.
I wrote something on the top of my show notes mere minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what it means. What does that mean about me? It says, I lose INT.
Interception?
I don't know.
I lose INT.
That's all I wrote, but I apparently, and I wanted to talk about it at the top of the show.
It wasn't a three and three thing. It's not one of your three and three.
No. I've got my three and three written. This, I think I wrote because I thought I want to talk about it on the top of the show.
To like open up with.
I lose INT. Hey, listen, write in the show if you know what that means, because now I'm curious. Maybe interest? Maybe I lost interest in the sentence and just stopped writing.
Oh, no, Star Wars.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I'm losing interest.
No, no, no. No, the whole point was not that we're losing interest in Star Wars. It's a trail of broken promises.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
We've lost interest in finishing the Star Wars series that we started, Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we finished the series standalone.
I did finish it, and I
enjoyed it. No. Visually, we watched it, and then we got through six episodes.
Oh, I follow. Yes.
Of the podcast.
For the podcast. Reviews of.
But our interest level in doing number 7 and number 8, it's gone.
Yeah. And one thing that you and I have learned from the podcast, one of our main, I don't say objectives or goals, but themes or guidelines, is that if we're not interested in it, we don't want to talk about it.
No.
So
listen, we're not phony.
No, we're not.
We're not going to talk about something because we feel like we have to.
Yeah. We might not be interesting to you, but we're interested in ourselves.
Completely self-centered.
I find myself losing interest in a lot of things. I'm not watching soccer lately.
Yeah.
I've kind of lost interest in like the whole Star Wars thing. We all went to see the last movie together.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of that's fine. I don't know. I'm losing interest in a lot of things lately. And so we lost interest in doing the last wrapping up the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
and so we're just not going to do it.
It was a great – actually, I think the Mandalorian as a whole was better than the last movie.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I'd rather rewatch the Mandalorian.
Than rewatch episode 9.
Yeah. I will rewatch episode 9 when it comes out. But
don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
It was fine.
The best part of Mandalorian, I think it was the very last episode, is the two stormtroopers with the baby Yoda in the pouch.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, and he's like, is he still alive? Because he hasn't been moving for a while.
And he's
Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, it is?
He's the one that punches baby Yoda.
Oh, that's funny.
So there's a huge uproar. Sudeikis. Yeah, there's a huge uproar, like Jason Sudeikis punching baby Yoda.
That's really funny.
And
I like when they're trying to shoot the thing and they can't hit it.
Yeah,
that's
rattles the gun.
Yeah.
It's like, that's perfect.
That is.
So there's a huge swelling right now of trying to get John
Favreau
to do a separate standalone thing based around these two stormtroopers.
Oh, I would love that.
My
idea is, I pitched it to Levi, and he thinks that's a great idea, is an Office style sitcom, 30-minute sitcom, 20-minute sitcom, whatever, where it's Office Parks and Rec style.
Right.
It is some department, like the sanitation.
Yeah.
Wow. Department of the Death Star.
Right.
That's like 4 seasons long or whatever, and it ends when the Death Star blows up. But you never mention, like the whole show, you never mention Darth Vader or any of the stuff going on in Star Wars. It's just these people.
Like in an office situation.
Like every once in a while, you might see something happen in the background happening, but the whole thing is about.
Like they're working on the sanitation.
Yeah, it's that. And it's about like the department politics of what they're doing. Because obviously, to get the Death Star to run is a massive undertaking.
And think about all the people on the ship taking a poop.
There's
got to be a sanitation
department. There's lots
department.
Of stuff happening.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of like relationships and stresses and things that have nothing to do with the big themes, in this world. And so I thought that would be really funny. But I like this idea too. Just these two guys, just a comedy. There is no Star Wars comedy.
Not
right?
really.
Yeah.
This would be as close as it gets, but I don't think it has to be like comedy, ha-ha funny, although it could be.
Mm-hmm.
That comedy
is hard
to do. It
could be a big swing and a miss.
It could.
Yeah.
But these two guys, I'm like, just let them go.
Yeah.
Like, let's find adventures for them,
you know?
Because actually, they're hired hand. They're hired help. They're not real stormtroopers.
No, they're not. Yeah.
They're just dressed in the attire.
Yeah.
So maybe they're hired help and they go help on a ship doing something else.
Yeah.
I
like it. I think that's a good idea. It seems like to try something like that, a Star Wars comedy, could be a big swing and a miss. Like, it could just not take
or it could
people,
be the best thing ever.
Or it could be fabulous. Now, obviously, there are a lot of, like, fan Star Wars comedy things. Like,
yes, yes.
Like the bad lip reading,
yes.
Yoda stuff, things like that. There's lots of comedy around Star Wars. And even in the episodes, there are funny parts.
Right.
Like, for all of my hatred for The Last Jedi, I did love the beginning of it when Poe is talking to General Hux. And yeah. He's like, yeah, holding for Hux.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, short guy. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
He gives the big, long speech, you know? Right. He's like, still waiting, yeah. You know?
Can he hear me?
Yeah. I think he's tooling with you. That was funny. And yeah. There are funny parts.
Yeah.
But to have a straight comedy,
yeah.
Like a sitcom, and I like the idea of it being Office style, too, where there's like the little
yeah.
Interviews and stuff. I think that could be pretty
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I think you just let the show run, and when it runs its course... Mm-hmm. That's when the Death Star blows up, like the last episode.
And it just blows up, and there's no, like, warning. There's yeah. No something.
Maybe halfway
happening.
Through episode 7.
It just blows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really funny.
Yeah.
I think that's really funny.
Now, would you place it between New Hope and Return of the Jedi, where it's, like, half blown up? Like, they're trying to repair it and fix it.
No, because I don't think you even want to reference, like... The fact that, like, I think then you couldn't quite get around the fact that that happened. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I guess though, in order for it to ultimately blow up,
then it would have to be
yeah. There. Mm. Okay.
But that could be part of the line.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, where it's like, you know,
like,
can you believe this?
We're
like,
cleaning
what are
up
doing?
From the construction crew. These yeah. Guys always leaving dust everywhere, things
right.
Like that. Yeah.
Can they not clean up after themselves? Mm-hmm. It's not our job to clean up their mess.
Yeah. And there's like a romantic interest, like a Pam and Jim thing happening.
How many females are on this ship?
On the
male stormtroopers. They're all clones.
No. I'm talking about the Death Star sanitation department.
Yeah.
Know?
Aren't they all stormtroopers?
No. There are people that work.
When?
Like the guys that go like, you know, like that, like point like something at a ship when it's coming in. Or,
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, there's guys in uniform.
Yeah, there's other guys
military,
that aren't stormtroopers.
I don't know who would run the sanitation.
Do you think stormtroopers are cleaning out the toilets?
Like, I don't know. They're the ones pooping in the toilets. Which leads me to my first topic of the night.
That's what we call a transition.
Was that your first topic? Could be.
Could be.
We don't know yet.
We might count it.
So this was a similar story from about a year ago. It's happened again in Wisconsin. A high school teacher takes over 100 poops in a public parking lot, in a public park.
Is there a reason? Like, because the last guy was doing it in the middle of the football field of the rival team.
Yeah, this
which
guy.
I liked a lot.
No, that's great. And I think it was a principal.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? It was like a high
just
school principal.
Just laying a dookie at the 50-yard line of the rival team every morning for like a month or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this guy, his name's Jerry Churchwell. Mm-hmm. High school English teacher.
Yeah.
Admitted to pooping in a public park sometimes multiple times a day for the past 2 years.
Is there a reason?
No.
Now, once is excusable. There's an emergency that happens and you have to take care of business.
Yeah.
You know, that's a weird thing. Did
yeah.
He get fired?
You know, there's not a reference to that. This is... the story is an interesting story. Just read it. But the crew that had to clean it up was struggling between either power washing stuff or using giant tongs.
Wait a minute. So he was like doing
the
it on
sanitation.
Like walkways or something?
Yeah, like in the public park, like in public areas.
He wasn't like on the grass?
No.
Okay.
Just randomly at different spots.
In front of people?
Twice a day. No.
This guy's impressive. Like
He gets in and gets out.
Yeah, I guess.
So, the question is, well, there's a couple questions that could go
listen,
with this.
A plethora.
What would be an appropriate
mm-hmm.
Not jail sentence or not necessarily a fine,
punishment.
Punishment.
Mm-hmm.
What would be an appropriate punishment for this guy?
I think you clean the Parks and Rec toilets for a year.
Yes, like the porta potties, yeah. Bathrooms, whatever.
They don't
that is.
Do enough of that. Punishments that fit the crime.
We should be doing more of that. Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
no,
I think
it's
that's
fabulous.
What you do. You just yeah. This guy. He's got to.
Well,
go
he's admitted for doing it for 2 years.
Yeah,
so he has to do it for four.
Okay, so for 4 years, it's his job to clean the toilets for the Parks and Rec Department.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
And that's your first thing.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny. I mean, you've pooped outside.
Mm-hmm.
I've pooped outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think most people have at one point.
I don't know what most people have done. I know what I've done.
Well, there's two people in the room.
Yeah.
And two out of two.
100%.
100% has pooped outside.
In a recent poll, 100% of people. Yeah. I mean, I've never done it for leisure, though. You know, like I've never done it just because.
No.
Where I had another option. But sometimes you don't.
Well, I'm telling you, the one time, it's been a long time since I told this story, but I was driving to work and it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And there was an Asian cuisine restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm driving to Columbus. The Asian cuisine restaurant doesn't open until like 10 or 11.
That's
safe. They don't do breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I pull in there in the parking lot. I park parallel to the road. I walk around the back side of the car.
Mm-hmm.
I hang on the mirror.
As you do.
Drop my pants and let it rip.
Right.
And it was a lot. It was bad.
Yeah.
But what am I going to do? Poop myself?
It's that or the car.
You pick one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to pick one.
Yeah.
Either poop myself
or
I poop outside.
I've done both of those.
Well, the best part about that story is not just the poop, because it was disgusting and gross and whatever, and I was sick.
It's that you went back later to
I went
inspect.
Back later. So on my way home from work,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know what? I just kind of want to see. I just want to take a look and see. And so I pull the car up, and I do a slow drive-by, and I'm like, wait, what? What's that?
Mm-hmm.
The whole spot on the asphalt where I dropped it was torched.
Mm-hmm.
They had torched, fire, torched. The entire poop.
And that's the right way to get rid of it, too.
Well, it's probably sanitation-wise, you know, the best way.
Yeah. I so wish we had video of the discovery and torching of that.
Yeah.
Like, that would be...
Well, I mean, can you imagine the Asians finding it? Of this Asian cuisine restaurant?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't speak Chinese, but I'm sure some Mandarin cuss words were flying around that day.
I'm not proud of
that
moment.
That might have been the last straw.
Yeah,
for
somebody. Some guy quit
like,
that day.
Some guy moved back to China. He's like, I can't take these Americans anymore.
These Americans.
First of all, they come to our buffet and they just park it all day. I've never seen anybody eat so much Kung Pao chicken before, you know.
And then we got guys pooping in our parking lot.
No, I can't take this uncivilized place anymore. Like, somebody moved back to China because of that.
I do feel bad about it. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? What do you do?
One of my children, I won't call them out, I came up with a new word the other day.
Okay.
So I'm one of my bucket list life goals is to create a new word that then finds its way into popular culture.
I create new words all the time.
But I want to find one that finds its way into popular culture, you know? I created a word for one of my kids because this particular child, whenever there is work to be done,
yes,
like, hey, guys, we're going to clean up the house or we're going to do this or whatever, immediately I have to go to the bathroom. You know?
Yes.
And it's never like a short bathroom trip, you know?
Yep.
And so I came up with a word for them. I said that they are opportunistic. You like that?
I do.
Yeah.
Opportunistic. Yeah.
So it's very selective when they have to go poo. And seems like any time work has to be done, we're not going to see you for about 20 minutes because you're in the bathroom. You know, I really have to go. Though I really do have to go. I'm like, I guess you just hold it until work has to be done. So,
well, see, as a father, if we're going to go into dad advice on this one, I think I would say, okay, we're all going to sit on the couch and wait for Mr. Oppa Panooper to finish up.
Mm-hmm.
And when Oppa Panooper comes out, we're all going to work together.
Opportunistic.
You know, they are an opportunistic person.
Yes.
But they're an Oppa Panooper.
Yeah, they were looking for an opportunity. So,
is that your first thing?
My first thing is very short. There's a YouTube channel called Ambient Worlds.
Yes.
That is nice background music. I was listening to it when you walked in. The one I was listening to is like 3 or 4 hours long. It's called Dagobah. And it's just the really nice, soft Star Wars themes that are kind of like fading into one another while it's a scene that looks like Yoda's hut at Dagobah. And there's also one called Rivendell from Lord of the Rings. Whatever movie you like, if it has a decent soundtrack, there's probably an ambient world made out of it. Some of them are like video games, I think, too. And it's a nice, very pleasant thing to have in the background while you're. I've been reading a book lately and been listening to Rivendell as I do it. And I suggest that anybody find the Ambient Worlds YouTube channel and enjoy.
Listen, I'm actually going to do this because lately I have been sitting in my chair late at night, and I just want to relax. And I really don't want to do anything. And I had recently bought a new, it's a corn cob pipe and a button nose.
Yeah.
Two Eyes Mayo's corn cob pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And some pipe tobacco. And I sit there and just one, you know, one cycle through that, I feel good. But I don't want to watch TV because going through that is like 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And it's just like it just, I'm relaxed. This is nice. It smells good. And then I turn on the TV and I get sucked into a 45-minute show.
Right.
And now this 15-minute thing has become a 45-minute thing. And now it's like I'm not ready to go to bed yet.
Well, this will put you to bed.
See, that's the thing. If I turn that on, Rivendell.
The Rivendell in particular.
And I pulled out the long bottom leaf.
There's some like light little like birds in the background, a slow. There's like, because it's not just the music. There's like ambient sounds. So there's like a waterfall in Rivendell. Sometimes you might like hear like a little bit of a creek sound. It's very well done.
I love it. I absolutely want to do this.
All right. That's my first thing. What's your second thing?
So did you catch anything about the Golden Globes?
The Ricky Gervais stuff?
Yes.
It was fabulous.
Fabulous.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais killed it.
So
my guess is that we don't align politically with Ricky Gervais.
No, I think he's an atheist.
Yeah.
And I think he tends to be more socialistic liberal.
Yes.
Okay?
But
we're the opposite. We love God, and we're conservative.
But the thing that we agree on is with
the
Ricky
elite,
Gervais.
The elitist.
Yes.
Like you are,
Hollywood is
you
out of touch.
Think you're better. Yeah, they're out of touch. You think you're better than us. You think you're better than us?
Yeah.
You shut up. No, you shut up. No, you shut up.
He took it to them.
Oh, he ripped them a new one, and I loved
and
it.
And the awkward, like, laughter or, like,
the groaning. Yes.
You know? And then he would just call him out on it. He's like, yes. No, you do it. You did it.
Yeah.
This is you.
So
you
a couple different things. He called him out on the Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
He called him out on Harvey Weinstein. Both, like,
yeah,
absolutely horrible things. And everybody in the room knows about it.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Everybody in the room knows. They all participated in something. And they know, and they kept their mouth shut. And he's like, no, you all did it. I didn't do it. You did it, and you know you did it.
Yeah.
He called him out on it.
Yeah,
I
did.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he opens the show. The line to the show, it's like, you've just set the moment for the night, and I love it. He's like, if you win an award, come up, accept your little award, thank your God, thank your agent, and get the F off.
Yeah.
And I loved
it. Don't give us your political speech. Don't
Nobody wants to hear that.
And Michelle Williams then gets up and gives her political speech.
Right.
And, and says that she thanks God that she lives in a country that women have rights so she can have the opportunities that she had. Because if she didn't have control over her own health care, she wouldn't be here today. In other words, she had an abortion, and that's, I mean, that's exactly
right.
what she said, and that's allowing her. So her killing children has allowed her to get, she's standing on the body of a dead child so she can stand where she's standing today. Like, that makes you look just, oh my gosh, I was just,
but
I,
half
I don't
of the
really
country,
know.
Half of the country supports that.
Well, I don't know that half of the country supports that, but yeah. So
no,
anyway.
It's outrageous. Completely outrageous.
And they didn't, they should have taken his advice and they didn't. And another person got up, I don't remember who it was, and was like super critical of Trump and saying all of these incorrect things about this whole Iran stuff and
yeah.
had no idea what they're talking about. Yeah, no, Ricky Gervais.
And he said, you're out of touch.
Yeah.
You're out of touch with the real world. You have no idea what it's like to be out
and
there.
They should know this.
They don't?
But they don't.
No, they're so stupid. Mm-hmm. The one guy, I was going to say John Voight. It's not John Voight. John Voight's a Trump lover. There's another old, bald, white dude. He played in the Two Popes movie.
Anthony Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins come out. And he said, Hollywood is stupid.
Yeah.
The actors know nothing. They get paid to memorize a script and read it.
Seems like maybe British people might be a little bit more in touch,
Patrick
I guess.
Stewart went off on Trump.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't want to.
That's
know
what
that.
I'm saying. No,
I don't
want to
know that. I like Patrick Stewart.
You did.
I still do because I haven't heard it and I don't want to hear it. Ignorance is bliss. Haven't
That's
you ever
why
heard
you're
that
not
before?
On Facebook anymore,
Jason. I am in an epic all-time show hole. I might just stop watching TV. Like the whole,
that would not be a bad thing.
In fact, I think I'm going to use this because I've been just sitting up at night reading, and I've actually been enjoying it, and I've enjoyed it a lot more than watching a TV show. But ever since my wife and I finished Frasier, I've not been able to find anything.
You got through the whole thing.
Yeah, we got through the whole thing with time to spare. And unfortunately, nothing else. There's nothing else to fill the hole that Frasier left in my life. And I don't want to watch a show that's dark or heavy. You know, I started watching this show the other day that was really interesting. It's about World War I in Ireland. It was about people going to war. And it was very interesting, but it's also a really heavy theme, and I just can't watch it that much. The only thing that I've been able to watch over the last, I would say, week consistently is the Antiques Roadshow.
Okay.
Which is nice, but Erica doesn't really care for it.
Right.
So
right.
It's not something we're going to be watching together. So I don't have a way to dig myself out of the show hole. I'm looking for something that's about like 8 seasons, maybe 10 seasons long, 24 episodes a season, that's like pleasant. Like watching Frasier for like 3 episodes is like taking a warm bath. It was just pleasant, you know?
I'm with you.
And you kind of giggle, laugh a couple of times. You get to know the characters. If I get up to go to the kitchen to get a drink or something, I don't feel the need to pause it.
Right.
There's not like some major plot line that I'm going to miss or anything.
Right.
And that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. So I have one suggestion.
Okay.
Well, two, but one I have not seen.
But these things ought to be streamable because I've actually had a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
Tell me what your suggestion is.
One, I have a lady at work. She has suggested this to me 10 times. And I keep on shutting her down. Mm. And it's a TV series, like 5 or 6 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Our sister loved it. And I remember her trying to get me to watch it back then. Prison Break.
I know.
Listen, that's what I said. I've said no 10 times. Finally, again, today she came back again and said, like, oh my gosh, whatever.
I want something funny.
Okay, Prison Break might not be funny.
Yeah.
Okay, next option. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Prison Break. I don't know if I'll get into it.
I'm not.
I don't want to. Because to me, they break out of prison, and then they go back and have to break out again?
I don't get it. No. Five seasons of a show called – a movie called Prison Break. Now, that's interesting.
It's 90 minutes
of
fun.
A TV show. Either these guys are not good at prison breaking.
Or they're bad at going back to prison.
Yeah. So either way.
The second option. Mm-hmm. So we watch this, and this is fun for the whole family.
Okay.
Worst Cooks in America with Chef Ann and Bobby Flay, and sometimes it's
– okay.
Alton Brown.
It's a cooking show.
It's a cooking show.
A competition?
Yes, but they bring in like 12 people who don't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, I'm a mom of 5, but I work full time. I'm busy. Mm-hmm. So we just do like mac and cheese and peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to cook. And I want to cook for my husband.
Okay.
And so it's like, it's a disaster. And it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like just trying to watch him try to chop an onion. It's like almost a little like nerve-wracking. Are they going to cut themselves? But it's funny because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of seasons of it, completely streamable, Food Network, easy. It's easy to watch.
I'm just looking for a way to stream Newhart, and I haven't found it. That's the one that I've not.
It used to be on like Hulu or something, I thought.
Yeah. Now, the Bob Newhart show.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Is on Hulu.
Yeah.
That's where he's a psychologist. I want Newhart, where he owns a bed and breakfast in Vermont. That's the one I want, with Daryl and my brother Daryl. And I've looked for it. It's not streamable anywhere that I found, and it's rather disappointing. So I might find a way to buy. Maybe I'll buy the DVDs. That probably could be cheap. I might look that up right now. I've got an Amazon gift card that's burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what I'll do. Because I feel like I could rewatch those, because that's a warm bath situation, right? That's a very pleasant thing.
See, I feel like it'd be better to buy it like on Vudu or Amazon Digital. Then you could stream it whenever.
Well, I actually looked for it on Amazon.
To purchase,
and it wasn't an option. The Bob Newhart show was, but it looks like I can buy the DVDs of it. Season 2, $20.
Jeez.
TV shows are expensive.
How many shows are there? How many seasons are there?
Well, there's at least 5 seasons.
$20 a season.
Four
so
seasons,
that's 100.
6 season.
Okay.
120. 7 seasons.
140.
All Newhart. The complete 1980s TV series, 1 through 8 DVD set. So 8 seasons for $170.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot
of
money.
For one TV show.
And I just want to stream it. You know what I mean? Like,
is he still alive?
Bob Newhart? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I heard an interview with him just the other day. He was on Conan. Yeah.
He's pretty great.
I love Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
And I love the show Newhart. And there's 8 seasons of it. It's very popular. Why somebody has not picked it up for the general public to stream with all the other crap that's out there?
Have you looked on YouTube TV?
Because
there's a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
that...
but then I kind of feel like I have to watch commercials. Right?
Yeah, but see, that's the whole thing. You get up and get a snack.
Yeah, that's true. And... All right, I'll look for it on YouTube TV.
My third thing.
All right.
The state of Ohio.
Man, $170.
That's a lot of money.
Jeez. The sad thing is I'm thinking about doing it.
I bet like on eBay.
I kind of feel like it'd be pleasant to stand up and change the DVD too. You know what I mean? I feel like that would be kind of a fun experience.
I don't think so. We stream everything.
Yeah,
I never have to get up.
I don't remember the last time I put a DVD in to watch.
The last time I had to get up and do something like in the middle of a show is when the batteries died in the remote. And that was awful.
That's a bad moment.
Because then you can't find double A's.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're actually triple A's.
Oh, man.
It's the worst.
What a roller coaster. All right. What's your thing?
In the state of Ohio, we are trying to legalize marijuana. So some states have already done it recreationally.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, Illinois, Colorado, Oregon.
Okay.
Legal to recreationally smoke weed.
It feels like... just a matter of time until...
Eventually it will all be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the state of Ohio has it open for medical reasons.
Yes.
Okay?
There's one in our very city.
That is true. And so this is not a topic of should it, shouldn't it, this, that. I don't care about any of that stuff.
Okay.
Here's the topic. This is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a petition that it's being signed by thousands of people to make... a Browns fan, a condition for medical marijuana. That if you're a Browns fan, that your life is so bad and so miserable and so depressing that you have to turn to marijuana because there is no other choice. As a Cleveland Browns fan, do you identify as someone who should be taking
really
marijuana?
That's really funny.
It's hilarious.
I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, as we've
as long
talked
as
about.
The day is long.
Yeah, I've
dark
always
outside.
Been.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
It's funny.
That's very funny. Well, I mean, it's as appropriate as all the other crap that people are getting marijuana
it's
for.
Completely ridiculous.
I knew guys. You just have to know which doctor to go to.
You go.
You say I have back pain, and he'll prescribe you marijuana.
I have insomnia. I have a hard time sleeping.
And then once
sleeping.
You get the prescription, then you can just get a refill.
Right.
Yeah, the whole thing is just a load.
It's a scam.
Garbage.
So I saw, like, Illinois just opened up their recreational side.
Mm-hmm.
I saw someone posted a receipt. They bought $70 of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 35% sales tax, or 36% to the state.
Yeah.
No federal tax because it's still illegal federally.
Right, yeah.
$36 or something went to the state of Illinois.
Because of the marijuana.
Because of the marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, out of one sale.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the federal government gets their hands on it, that's going to double.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a 80% sales tax on marijuana. Yeah.
I mean, generally, I know we're not going to talk about the politics of it, but generally speaking, like, let's just take cigarettes, for instance.
Right.
I think smoking cigarettes is a bad idea, you know?
Yeah.
Just crap the snot out of it. Crap the snot out of it?
Tax the snot out of it.
That's
well,
a different
no.
Thing.
So here's the truth
tax,
in that.
Just tax it to death.
And this is why, to me, it's justified. People who smoke cigarettes, in particularly, especially chain smokers, those type of people, they put a strain on the healthcare system down the road. They do. They get disease and cancer, and you know all the different problems that go along with it, and pneumonia, and it's difficult to get through. You know, you have to call ambulances out. People get high blood pressure and heart attacks from smoking.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you're putting a pressure on state-run and state-funded programs.
Yeah.
So if you tax it, you can properly fund EMT squads to help when someone has a heart attack.
Yeah.
Because they've been smoking for 30 years.
Because they are a drain on the system.
So to me, it does offset. It does justify taxing that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know... possibly that's where that money is going.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. If the tax has a purpose, ultimately, I don't want tax. You know, I don't think we should have as much tax as we do. It's outrageous. If you look at how much tax you really pay, it's an outrageous amount.
Yeah, and it like historically speaking, it's only gotten
worse. Yeah, higher.
Would we look at the amount of tax that people paid originally is very low. And if they could see how much tax we're paying today, it would blow them away. And there's no such thing as a temporary tax that gets lifted.
No, it's permanent forever.
Which is why – so like voting against a local school tax, for instance, is justifiable because you're just going to keep on taking my money and spending it poorly. I those things tug at my heartstrings because, well, I want good education for kids.
Right.
But I also have to realize that giving these people more money is not the solution.
Well, they're mismanaging what they do
have. They've proven that they can't handle it. And so, giving somebody who can't handle something more of that thing actually makes the problem worse.
Right.
Right?
Well, and the solution, though, is to get on the school board to make those changes.
Yeah.
Right? You can make the changes if you want to.
I guess, yeah, but then you're the guy that's like trying to pull money away from the school, right?
No, we're being wise with what we have.
Yeah.
It's listen, I have the same issue. Locally, I really don't want to get into politics. I hate it.
Well, we don't talk about politics anymore, so.
Well, there's a local disability school program. You know, they help disabled people. And the last time they passed a tax was like 1996.
Yeah.
Like it's been 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to pay more tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not something that I desire to do. Having said that, I think what makes a society great, what makes a culture great, is to say we help those who can't help themselves. Like there are people in our community that have problems.
Mm-hmm.
Let's help these people. People are so selfish they don't even want to help these people. Having said that, manage the money properly, because if you're spending it and your administration costs are three times the cost of what you're actually spending on the care, then there's a problem.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing, man.
Yeah, I know, and I voted for that, and I agree with what you said, but I still voted for it because I'm like, okay,
ultimately
this is for kids with disabilities and stuff, and they haven't passed one for so many years,
right.
You know, but it's tough
if they've been mismanaging money for 30 years. Why should we give more money? Because I don't want the administration to get rich.
Mm-hmm. It's a solid point.
It's the people.
It's very slippery slope.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah.
It makes me want to sell everything and move to Alaska and like live in the wild, build a cabin.
I've considered it. All right. My final thing. That was your third thing, right? My final thing is chips is my final thing.
Chips.
I like a chip, and I wanted to do the Mount Rushmore of chips.
Mm.
Now, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. The Mount Rushmore of chips.
Okay. I've got the George Washington.
All right. Is that the potato chip?
Chippendale. Chippendales.
All right.
Rescue Rangers.
So Chippendales Rescue Rangers or the male dancing service?
Chippendales Rescue Rangers.
Okay.
Chippendale.
That's
Rescue Rangers.
That's your suggestion?
Chippendale.
Okay.
Second suggestion.
All right. Eric and Lestrada?
I thought about that.
Okay.
Poker chip. Dude, that belongs on it.
Okay. All right.
Now, I have a friend named Chop.
Uh-huh.
That's not chip.
No.
Okay. I think potato chip.
Chocolate chip.
Ooh, I didn't even consider that.
Mm-hmm. Chipped ham.
Yeah, listen. We had a lot of chipped ham growing up.
I don't know what chipped ham is. I don't think it's ham.
I've experienced it. I've experienced it recently.
Really?
One of the ladies at work got some chipped ham. And
it's got to be a Depression era food, chipped ham, right?
It's the low of the low.
It's worse than bologna.
Is it?
I don't know. It feels like it.
Right. Mom, I'm hungry. There's some chipped ham in the refrigerator.
Oh, I'll starve.
If my kid said that, I'm like, just eat the chipped ham. Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I've never bought chipped ham. As an adult, actually in my whole life, mm-hmm. teenager, adult, I've never purchased chipped ham.
Neither have I. We have purchased bologna.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
at the deli counter, had them slice it.
Yep, we've done that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Is it that easy? Chippendales Rescue Rangers, poker chips, potato chip, and chocolate chip?
I think so. Can you think of another chip?
I was thinking like Pringles, Doritos, potato chips.
So you set up...
Tortilla chips. Tortilla chips.
A chip off the old block.
Chip Ingram from that... Chip and JoJo from that HGTV show.
Chipotle.
What do you think Google will auto if I write the word chip?
I don't know.
Chipotle.
I just said that.
Well, that's the number one. Now if I say chip space, Chip Chan stream is the first thing that comes up.
Chinese Netflix?
The next thing is Chip and Joanna Gaines. I don't know. Chip Chan. It's like the Chinese
Chip
Chan Ching.
It's Netflix for China.
Chip Chan.
Netflix. Chip Chan. It's probably some awful site and you shouldn't go to it. And we're just broadcasting that to the world to see.
Well,
is
Google
it a person?
Did it.
What is it?
I don't know.
Listen, don't ever Google Chip Chan.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I don't know what Chip Chan is. Google did it. So Chip Chip and Joanna Gaines. From the HGTV show.
Okay.
Then Chip Gaines. Then Chip Skylark. You know what Chip Skylark?
No.
Oh, he's a character from a cartoon in Fairly Odd Parents. He's a character from that show. Chip and Dale. Chip Foose. Chip and Potato. Chip Kelly.
What about fish and chips?
Chip Foose is American car designer.
Okay, I'm done with this.
So none of these people belong on this. So it's Chip and Dale.
Uh-huh.
Chip from Chip and Dale.
Rescue Rangers.
Poker chips.
Uh-huh.
Potato chips.
Yeah.
And chocolate chips.
Yeah, absolutely. Slam dunk.
That's the Mount Rushmore of chips.
That's the oddest one
that we've ever done. It's the most varied. It's a cartoon.
Uh-huh.
A plastic.
Gambling tool.
Gambling tool. A dessert and a salty snack.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Two of them are food.
Really quickly, though, what would be the Mount Rushmore of snack chips?
Okay. Pringles, Doritos, Funyuns.
Well, no, a Funyun is not a chip.
It is a chip.
No, a Funyun is not a chip.
It is a chip.
No, it's a circle. I think a chip has to be flat.
No, a chip can be whatever you want it to be. It's a snack. It's encrusted. It's onion dust that's been pressed together. What do you think a Dorito is?
It's a thin slice of food made crisp by being fried, baked, or dried.
No, that's an onion ring.
No, a chip. I just read the definition of a chip.
A Funyun.
It's a thin slice. A Funyun is not a slice. A Funyun is a ring.
Well, then Dorito's not a slice.
Yeah, it's a thin...
No, it's not. It's not a slice. You don't slice a Dorito.
What does a Dorito come from? What do they mean?
It's cornmeal pressed together and baked.
Which is the same thing as a Pringle.
No, a Pringle is a potato that's been sliced.
No.
No, Pringles.
Yeah, Pringles.
No, you're thinking in the can.
Yeah, a Pringle is not a slice of a potato.
I was thinking Ruffles.
Okay.
Ruffles is a slice of a potato.
Mm-hmm.
Pringles is pressed correct.
Something. Yeah.
Something. I don't even know. Listen, if Pringles is a chip.
First of all, Funyuns
is a chip.
Second of all, it doesn't belong in this list.
What about little triangle things that you put on your fingers?
Bugles.
Bugles.
I like a bugle.
Is that a chip?
Last time I had bugles was not so long ago. My wife, before then, it was years.
Yeah.
But my wife got some like snack size Pringle bags or something. I don't know why. And
that was one of the options.
And I was like, bugles? And so I went to get it.
Yeah.
And first thing I did,
Put them on your fingers.
I just to put it on my fingers. Turns out they're a lot smaller than they used to be.
Or are your fingers larger?
Fatty. I think it's a combination of the two.
Yeah.
First of all, they were all flat and misshapen, many of them. Okay. So I don't think the Bugle factories is doing as good a job as they used to.
Yeah, I mean, they used to be cone heads.
Yeah.
I mean, large.
They're not like I remember.
Okay.
And they can't be as big because none of them even came close to fitting on my fingers.
Your hands are quite a bit bigger than when you were six.
I got sausage links for fingers, so that might be part of it, but I don't know. But Funyuns does not belong with potato chip, Dorito.
Pringle.
I feel like
Pringle and nacho chip.
You mean like tortilla chip?
Yeah.
And Pringle?
Yeah.
I'm just going through.
Of the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different flavored chip, but those are different
like
varieties
barbecue
of chips.
Potato chips.
The sour cream and onion. Mm-hmm. I love salt and vinegar chips.
I love a good salt and vinegar chip. I like a kettle chip.
Yeah, those are good too.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite are salt and vinegar currently.
Really?
Although I haven't had them in a week. So,
I like sea salt and vinegar, but that's
fine.
Just
yeah,
me.
That's the same. What's the pink salt? Himalayan pink salt and vinegar.
Oh, yeah. And like malt vinegar or, you
apple
know.
Apple cider
like,
vinegar.
Yeah, some kind of like balsamic vinegar. All right. What is your Netflix suggestion of the week?
My Netflix suggestion of the week can be found on YouTube TV. Naked and Afraid. There's more than 12 seasons of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my go-to TV show after everybody goes to bed.
It's your current go-to TV show, Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
For those of us, myself being one, that have not seen the show.
The basic premise.
I assume it involves wearing no clothes and being fearful.
Here's the basic premise.
Yes.
They get two people.
Okay.
And
do these two people know each other?
No, never met.
Okay. All right.
They arrive on separate vehicles.
Man and woman?
Typically, it's a man and a woman.
Okay.
And there are different variations. It's expanded to groups and different things and solo, whatever. But the basic premise of the show, one man, one woman, they arrive. They have one tool each, one item that they can bring.
Okay.
So, like the one I watched last night, the chick brought her dad's machete that he had in Vietnam when he was a soldier. It's like this hardcore steel machete, heavy. And the guy brought a roll of duct tape.
Okay.
And that was the thing. So the first they made some bowls out of the duct tape to drink water out of, you know, and then they chop some stuff down and build a fire and everything else. And they have to live.
So this is teamwork.
Teamwork. Yeah. You're working together.
Okay.
And you have 21 days.
To survive.
To survive in the wild.
What happens if you give up?
Yeah. You can like tap out. So they have...
where do you keep the button?
They have a little necklace with a microphone on it.
Oh, okay.
You can't really see. You don't really know what it is. I know what it is because of production type of stuff. But they have this little tiny necklace that's like a microphone that records all this stuff. And then there is a camera crew, but it's minimal. It's like one guy filming them.
A lot of blurring, I would assume.
Yeah, there's some post-production.
I mean, that's keeping a couple people busy 24/7.
Post-production
all
blurring.
Of the blurring moving around.
So... they have like a little satchel that's made out of canvas, not canvas, but what is that called? The brown burlap. It's made of like brown burlap.
Mm-hmm.
And in that bag, you know, they can keep, you know, if they're collecting berries, they put all the berries in the thing and they bring it back to camp. So the episode I watched two nights ago, one of the guys brought like a stainless steel little bowl cup thing. You can boil water in it. You can make soup.
So what would
you
bring? You
put pine needles in it. So that depends. I mean, I think the number one thing is fire. You have to have fire. Everyone that I watch, they get there, and their first mistake is they find a campsite, and then they start to build shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's every time. That's what they do. And then they struggle to get a fire on night one. The one I watched last night, they didn't catch a fire until night three.
You may have said this already and I wasn't paying attention, but what's the environment? Is it a cold place?
Well, see, so it varies. So Africa, Panama.
So these are places that you don't necessarily need a fire at night.
No, you. So the one in Africa last night, the Serengeti, at nighttime, it got down to 47 degrees.
Oh, geez.
And it rained.
Oh, geez.
So 47 degrees and rain, you're cold.
That's
yeah, that's like slipping into hypothermia.
But during the daytime, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 92 degrees.
Yikes.
So
you need that fire.
You need the fire. Mm. So to me, you have to have fire. And fire is protection. So there's dangerous animals, hyenas. And
has anybody ever been?
I don't know. I've not seen them all. I think if anybody was viciously attacked by a lion, they'd cancel the show. Or at least not air that one.
Yeah.
But fire's number one. So you have to have some type of
so
fire
starter. You would get a fire starter. Like
either a fire starter, a little magnesium flint thing, mm-hmm. or magnifying glass. That's mm-hmm. proven. If you have sunlight, you can direct the light, catch a flare, you know, a little coal, blow on it, get some fire.
Okay.
So once you have a fire, you're good. Now, if I could have two things.
Well, you can't.
Well, if my partner's going to bring something, okay. if I could like whisper in their ear before the show, like bring mm-hmm. this, it would be a pot to boil water. Because you can get sick by drinking bad water.
But you boil water.
You're good.
Yeah, it might not taste great when you're done.
But it's clean.
But it's going to get rid of any
bacteria. What you can't do
is
get sick. Mm-hmm. If you're puking and diarrhea, you can't make it. You're mm-hmm. going to have to tap out because medically you're falling
apart.
Is
there a prize for making it?
No, it's just pride knowing that you've done it.
And where do you watch this?
Discovery Channel.
Okay.
It's on YouTube TV.
All right.
And it's probably – you could probably stream it other places too. Go mm-hmm. like Discovery Go has an app.
Yeah, I don't see that replacing Frasier for me.
Here's the thing. I actually love it. I really, really do. I'm fascinated by it. I'm not a naked guy. I mean, you know, I get naked, take a shower. But, like, I'm not – I have no desire for that, to, like, walk around the woods naked.
No.
I think it'd be awful.
Yes.
Having said that, like, if I could wear, like, boxers mm-hmm. or khaki shorts or something like that, mm-hmm. no shirt, no shoes, no socks, that's fine. I would love to do this. Mm-hmm. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so much fun. And because ultimately, time after time.
You're not a naked guy.
I'm not a naked guy. I'm not an afraid guy either. So I'm not naked or afraid.
Right.
So
the show could be called Clothed and Courageous.
Boxers and Boring.
Okay.
I don't know. So here's my thing. For real. I think what I would really, really do.
This is your peanut butter theory.
This is my peanut butter theory.
Yes.
I think for a whole month mm-hmm. before going on the show, mm-hmm. I would eat as much peanut butter as I could, like every day. And I would try to put on 30 pounds of fat.
Yeah.
And then I would go to Africa or wherever they sent you.
Yeah.
Start a fire, build a little shelter, and just camp out for 3 weeks, 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
And just let my body burn the peanut butter fat that I put on. I think I could do it.
Okay.
Listen, the problem is these people need all the calories because they're looking for food. They're hiking.
I like
they're
the
doing
show alone. I like that show.
So, yeah, I've seen like bits and pieces. I've never mm-hmm. watched a full season.
That show's good. No nakedness. And it's just who can last the longest.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Now, I had that conversation with my wife, and she said I could try it if I wanted to.
But you better win.
But I better win. Because mm-hmm. I couldn't leave for 6 months and then come back empty-handed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't come back at all.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't win. See, that's the thing. That's my motivation for the tape that you send in. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, I'm not coming back. I can't come back.
I have.
My wife kicked me out.
Nobody has more motivation. I will lose everything.
I will lose everything.
If I don't win
this. I have to be
this.
Here. Yeah. This is my new home. I'm not mm-hmm. leaving.
Either I win or I don't
I live
go home.
Here now.
So, yeah.
So, this is either my new home mm-hmm. or I'm going home with $1 million. That should be my promo tape.
I liked that show. I watched one season of it, and I found it very interesting.
My survivor – see, that's the thing. If you had to live for 6 months, mm-hmm. that's a long time. 21 days, listen.
They say the solitude is
– I could do it.
I feel like I could do it.
I know I could. To me, it'd be a break. I think it's a vacation. Mm-hmm. Can you bring a book?
Yeah. I don't think you can bring a book. On that show, I think you could bring like four things or something like that, five things. Like it's you know, up
well,
the ante.
Fire starter, axe, pot.
Yeah.
And then weapon to kill things.
Yeah.
Bow and arrow type
Wait,
of thing.
The axe. If you're
going to Yeah, if you could throw
axe.
Stuff. Catch birds. Mm-hmm. Fish.
All right. My Netflix suggestion of the week is a documentary on Netflix called Great Events of World War II in Color. It's the thing that I watch right now when I'm by myself. It's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty good as far as the documentary goes. It just goes through World War II. It kind of actually helped me understand it. In a way that I hadn't before, seeing it the way that I saw it. It's really well done, and they've cleaned up the footage and put it in color, as the title of the show would indicate. And it's well done, and I like it, and it's on Netflix, and I think it's a Netflix original. It's called The Greatest Events of World War II in Color.
I saw, not to get political.
Because we don't do that.
We don't do that here. I saw a picture today, and it was a throwback to like 1941 or whenever we first entered the war. I don't know what year that was. And there was people marching up and down the street with banners saying, "What did Hitler do to us? Europe for Europeans and America for Americans." Like it was an anti-war movement, you know. But looking back at history, if you realize how bad Hitler was.
People didn't realize.
No, they didn't realize it.
No, they didn't.
And honestly, that's what I feel like is going on right now. We just killed this guy from Iran. Many of our experts say he was the number one terrorist in the world.
Yeah.
He's personally responsible for thousands of American lives. When
Obama did that, they threw a parade.
Exactly. Trump does it, and
they had that. They had that shot of like Obama and Hillary and Biden. Remember, like all in this room, like looking at this thing, and it was this very important presidential thing that he was doing. And now Trump does it, and he's some sort of like horrible person.
So I posted this on Facebook, and friend of the show, supporter and listener, Terry,
okay,
instantly liked it and reshared it.
Okay.
Without the approval of Congress, the President of the United States has ordered and approved 542 drone strikes, killing a total of 3,797 people, including 324 civilians. This is 100% true. And the name of this president is Obama.
Oh, wow.
It's true. Drone strikes have increased as the technology has increased. Trump is doing exactly what the previous administration did. Except in this one instance, both Republicans and Democrats are responsible for the death of guilty and innocent people. Like, you can't separate away from that. It's been going on forever.
Seems to have been, yes.
And you can't. That's the inconsistency of their message is what kills me.
Well, because they have an axe to grind. They have an agenda.
They hate Donald Trump. Yes. And it doesn't matter what he does. So there's fires. Australia is burning. It's basically hell on fire. Fire and brimstone, right? I have some thoughts about that, but I'll leave those thoughts aside. Do you know they just recently passed an abortion bill? Legalizing abortion? You have left the presence of God, Australia. I'm sorry. You're done. Anyways, I don't think God caused the fire. That's a whole separate thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Donald Trump, if he said, we are going to send 10,000 firefighters and put out the fires in Australia, the media and the liberal press, they would go nuts. Are you kidding? Why would you send our Americans there to die and all this other
They would
nonsense?
Find a reason to criticize.
They would find a reason, whatever it is. Like, you're going to use up the resources and, can't win. You know, whatever.
You know,
it doesn't matter what he does. They're going to pick the opposite side.
I've, like, wanted to not like Donald Trump. You know, like, when he first started running, my first reaction was, get out of here. You know, come on. But the more the liberal media hates him, the more it makes me like him. And he said something during this whole impeachment thing, which he said, they're not attacking me. They're attacking you. You know, they're coming after you. And I do think that's why they hate him, because he was trying to appease a conservative mentality and get voted in by them. He did, and now he's
trying to represent those
those values, and that's what they hate, is those values.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it happens to be Trump. If Trump was a liberal, they would love him. So, because they love Bloomberg, and he's a billionaire.
They're all evil.
Yeah.
They're all evil.
Yeah.
And he's trying to drain the swamp, expose all of this. Listen, I hate getting political. I don't even want to talk politics. There was a fairly well-known pastor guy. I saw a post two or three days ago. Yeah, pastor guy. He posts this. He's like, I accidentally stumbled across this documentary. I wasn't planning on watching it. And in this documentary is about these Ukrainian officials, high-level officials, who have documentation that there are dozens of Americans wrapped up in corruption within the Ukrainian government and these gas and oil companies, including Burisma, including Hunter Biden, including Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi. Like, there are dozens of them. Dozens. And they have documentation. They have filed to enter the United States legally, and they have been rejected five times. The United States, the State Department, will not let them travel to the United States because of the corruption. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to hide it. They're trying to cover it up. And Rudy Giuliani went over there. This whole documentary is about this. Rudy Giuliani goes over there and starts to get all of this information to bring it back. It's like, if this goes, this could go down for real. Mm-hmm. And I hope it does. And I hope they're all exposed. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. If you're exposed in this corruption, mm-hmm. you need to leave and never come back. Go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
I'm just glad we don't get political anymore. That's what I'm
so many about. People are political.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be.
No. Which is why we've made a very firm decision.
We're not biased.
We're not that kind of
show. Or we're not partisan.
We're not partisan.
We're bipartisan.
I don't know. We're bipartisan. Maybe unpartisan.
There we go. Word.
Yeah. Because
I'm neither.
Yeah. Bipartisan would be like, yeah, I'm cool with both sides of it. You know?
Everybody's good.
Yeah. No. Not everybody's good. Many people are evil. All right. Well, what a wonderful way to start or to end the show today. We started by talking about God knows what, and ended by talking about this. So that's a show.
That is a show, yes.
All right. This is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.
Sit, boo-boo, sit. Good dog.
I have spoken.